something a little different today. I haven't tried this before, so hopefully it'll work. I'm not very savvy with electronics, so I'm glad we have some support. What I'm going to do is play a little video before we get into the message. The reason I looked up this video is I've never seen something that you're going to watch here before. And so I thought it was helpful for me to understand the passage of the scripture that we're going to look at tonight, today. It is an Old Testament parable, I can call it. You can call it an Old Testament parable. You know what parables are? It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, right? So we're going to look at an Old Testament parable that's spoken a great deal to me in my life. So I hope somebody here will benefit from it. So let's try this out. Thank you. Let's ask the Lord in prayer to help us. Father, we thank you this morning that we could gather together once again. We thank you for your presence with us. We pray that you'd speak to us this morning so that our hearts may be encouraged and enlightened from your word. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Well, you know, I've never seen a potter work with clay. That's the reason I looked at it's a YouTube video. There was a whole bunch of YouTube videos on potter working on clay. And this is one I liked, so that's the reason I picked. But there's so much in that you don't see. But you see a lot. And you saw the potter, and he's working with something very filthy. And it is clay. Some of the things we saw, that he puts that clay on a potter's wheel that rotates. And he works on that wheel, you know, with his hands, and it's filthy clay. And also, you notice one of the things, his intensity as we work. That's why I like this video. You know, he had no time for distraction. If he's distracted, his finger moves the wrong way, it's going to destroy that vessel. His intensity, his focus on what he's trying to do there is what you see. Again, like I said, it's an Old Testament parable. It has helped me a lot in my life. And I always reflect back to this little parable. And it's taught me many lessons. And the important lesson is to let Lord do the work and not you on your life. I'd like to read, as we get started, Jeremiah chapter 18. I'd like to read the first 6 verses. Jeremiah chapter 18, the first 6 verses. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." What are the people and the things that we see in this passage? We see Jeremiah, he's a prophet, and we see the potter. And the things that we see is the clay, the pot, the finished product, the pot, and the equipment the potter used, the potter's wheel. Because a couple of things that he didn't see is the oven or the furnace that he would place this pot in once he's done with this pot, and paint. You don't see those two things, but there were other videos that I saw that had those things, but we didn't have time to look at all the videos. I like to look at all these things one at a time today. First, I like to look at the prophet. Who is a prophet? He's God's prophet, right? Who's God's prophet? One who communes with God. That's the first idea that we can get in our minds, right? One who communes. He freely communes with God, and God communes with the prophet. One who communicates with God on a regular basis. Now, does God communicate with us? God communicated to mankind through creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, right? The heavens declare the glory of God. And because of that, in Romans chapter 1, God says man is without excuse. All human beings have heard God's message through creation. We can look at everything that we have in creation. You can look at yourself. You know, we were not made by man. We look at the birds that fly and everything you can take. We didn't make any of those things. So creation speaks. Romans chapter 2 talks of conscience. God has given every man a conscience. So we are without excuse because of creation and because of conscience. In Romans chapter 3, God speaks through Scripture, through the Word of God. And unless you are listening, you won't hear what God has to say, right? You have to first listen, be listening. As Brother Leslie pointed out this morning, if you don't have a receiver, no matter how much the transmitter transmits, you're not going to hear. Right? You have to be listening. Then only will you be able to receive instruction from God. Prophet Jeremiah was listening. Notice what the Lord Jesus told him. I'm sorry, not the Lord Jesus, but God told him. He says, go down to the potter's house. There will I cause you to hear my words. And verse 3 says, then I went down. This morning, Jeff pointed out the word down used in Scripture. See, that's very, very important. You know, in the case of Jonah, true, he was asked to go to Nineveh, but he decides to go to Tarshish instead. And he went down. Did God know that? Did God know that when he asked him to go to Nineveh that he's going to go to Tarshish? We talked about it this morning. God is sovereign. God knew which direction Jonah was going to go. Because there was a lesson that he had to learn in the whale's belly. He was going to be a type of Christ. Unless he went down to Tarshish, that would not have happened. In this case, it is a humbling experience for Prophet Jeremiah to go down to a potter's house. He was not asked to go up to the palace and preach to the king. And what did he do? Unlike Jonah, Prophet Jeremiah went down to the potter's house. Humbling. It's a condescending experience for him to go down to the potter's house. Maybe a little hut in a potter's field where he works with clay. And his instruction was there. You're going to hear my voice. There was no other place that Jeremiah was going to hear God's voice except in the potter's house. That was the only place that he could hear God's voice. He could have gone elsewhere. Maybe he could have turned around and go to the king's palace. He was not going to hear God's voice. He had to go there to the potter's house. A good example was Mary, right? The sister of Martha and Lazarus. She sat at Jesus' feet and Martha was clanking her vessels in the kitchen. Say, where is Mary? There's no help. But Mary was seated at the feet of Jesus, listening, learning. There's a place that God has allotted for each one of us to go to learn or to hear his word. So again, there was communication. When you think about prophet, there's communication between the prophet and God. Again, God communicates, the prophet hears. There is instruction that the prophet can learn, and the instruction would be to go to a certain place so that God can speak to you. And what else? Verse 3 says, then I went down to the potter's house. I went down, and it was immediate obedience, a compliance to what God instructed him or commanded him to do. You know, it's a wonderful thing that when man, his people, obeys right away. It's a wonderful thing because there you can learn a lot of things. In the case of Jonah, there was no obedience, but yet God still taught him a lesson. That was God's intent in Jonah's life, to teach him a lesson, not only for Jonah, but for all of us that read that scripture of Jonah. God's heart, his love for not only Israel, but also for the Gentiles, is communicated there in the book of Jonah. Obedience. You know, there was no procrastination. My schedule is full. Maybe tomorrow I will go to the potter's house. He'll miss the message, right? There was no negotiation. What is there for me to get? If I go down to the potter's house, I've got many other things to do. Maybe I'll delegate it to someone else to do. That's the world's way of doing things, right? When you have to do it, delegate it. In the case of Jonah, you can run. He ran, but he can't hide. He still went to Nineveh. The third thing is the clay. What does the clay represent? You look at the potter, now it's the clay. What does the clay represent? The clay is dug up from the potter's field. Okay? In scripture, it represents human beings. It's clay. The clay on the potter's wheel, that's a special clay. If you remember when we read this, O house of Israel, God's chosen people, that's the clay on the potter's wheel. It's not just any clay. It's God's chosen people. It finds their place on the potter's wheel. It's you and it's me on the potter's wheel. What should be this clay? What is the characteristics of this clay? What should it be like? It has to be free of impurities. Okay, because, you know, if you saw initially that he took the clay and he patted on it, but before that, he rolls this clay. There were some other videos where he prepares the clay, he rolls it, and then he makes sure that there's no air pockets in this clay. There is no grass or hay or any vegetation. Then the vessel would be a bad product. There's no pebbles or rocks or grit in that clay. It had to be pliable, surrendered, so that when the potter puts his hand and works on it, he can make it into the vessel that he has in mind. It has to be pliable. He used water. The third thing, the clay, I mean, we had looked at the prophet, the clay, the potter. Who is the potter in this passage? Any idea? Know his name? No, we don't. He's unnamed. Just an ordinary, hardworking farmer. And he was used by God to teach a lesson to the prophet Jeremiah. Think about that. A simple laborer, an ordinary person, no theological training whatsoever, but he was used to teach Prophet Jeremiah. Never underestimate, this is a principle, again, principle that I've told myself many times, never underestimate small contributions from a surrendered heart. Never underestimate that. That's all what matters, right? All you have to do is use what you have available. Again, what God has given you, whatever it may be, just use it for Him. When Prophet Jeremiah walked into this little hut, the potter's house, what did the potter say? I don't have time for you, just leave. I'm focusing on this vessel, don't disturb me, don't trouble me right now. I cannot be distracted. Did he say that? No. It was unannounced. There was no telephones or anything like that. Prophet Jeremiah just walked to his hut, and here he was working. Now we see a lot of people in the scripture that have given everything or given what they had for the Lord and how God the Lord blessed them. Nehemiah, for instance, one of my favorite characters in the scripture. David. The boy with two loaves and five fishes. Look what the Lord did with these things. Who does the potter symbolize? You don't have to turn, just listen. These are very familiar verses. Genesis 2 and 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Who does the potter represent? God. That's the picture here. It's God, right? Psalms 119 and 16, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Romans 9 and verses 20 and 21, but who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to its molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump of lump one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? This is a rhetorical question by Apostle Paul. It's not that it doesn't say that the potter makes a vessel for dishonor, but if the potter wants, he can. He has the power to do it. He is the potter. The clay has no control. But if he wants to, he can. But that's not what he did, right? He did not just destroy Adam and Eve and create a Jack and Jill, did he? He never did that. That's not like our God. The potter is a type of God in this lesson. What is the potter's intent? You know, you saw his intensity in that video, right? As you worked on that clay. What is his intent? To transform this filthy, useless form of clay into something that's beautiful, something that's useful, that has form and fashion. That's his intent. Now, the important question that we have to ask ourselves is, who is my potter? Who is my potter? Is it God? Or is it something or someone else? Who is my potter? You know, during the retreat, we heard of our enemies, right? The world, Satan, and the flesh. Those things can mold you. They can be your potter. Or are you your own potter? You're making your own vessel? You can try, but you still be clay. You know, some Christians want God to be their clay. You know, they rather mold God into the shapes that they want. Something very, very important to think about, right? Are we trying to mold God into shapes that we want him to be like? The potter has a design in mind, a very unique design for each and every one of us. You know, we saw I don't know whether you noticed it towards the end, as he took the pot and kept it on the table, there was a whole bunch of other pots there. None of them looked alike. Because every vessel that he makes is unique, is special to the potter. It's got a very specific use. Some are plates, some are cups. You know, some are pots, storage. Let's now look at the finished product, the pot itself. How did he make it? With his hands, right? You saw the pressure that he's applying on that clay from the inside and from the outside, right? And that's how he molds it. And his very focus is how much pressure he's applying. Because otherwise it can fall apart. He's very careful as he went about doing this. He's got a design in mind. He's got a blueprint that he's working towards to achieve. That's why he's so focused on that vessel. He's got to fulfill that design that he has in mind for you and for me. Are you allowing him to do that? Are you surrendering yourself, your members, so that he can mold you and make you just as he has the blueprint for you? We read in that passage here, verse 4 says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." It was marred. Not all of us that finds ourselves on that wheel, on the potter's wheel, is completely pure. There are impurities. And sometimes he has to remake it. Now, when he noticed that the vessel was marred, what were his options? What were his options? He could have completely scrapped it and thrown it away into the scrap hill, right? He could have done that. But did he do that? Good riddance, I don't want to see you anymore. because of what you are like, because you have too much impurities in you. That's not what he did. As I said, he did not do that with Adam and Eve. He's not going to do that for the believer. The world was the other option. He could have used it the way it was, with the impurities, with the marred and crippled state. He didn't do that either. You see, what a potter that we have. Our potter wants us to be perfect in accordance to his blueprint. He remade it. He remade the vessel. He didn't just discard it. He remade it. And how did he remake it? As seemed good to the potter. Not as seemed good to me or to the vessel. As seemed good to the potter. In accordance to his design. That's how he did it. I think we ought to underscore that in our Bibles. Flawless, perfect. What does it speak to us? Security, isn't it? If you find yourself on the potter's wheel, you are secure. The question is, are you on the potter's wheel? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are on the potter's wheel. You are eternally secure. He is not going to discard you. He might remake you, but he's not going to discard you. Make sure you are on the potter's wheel. And another thing you probably noticed, when he took the clay and he set it on the wheel, he set it right in the center of the wheel. You know, it cannot be on one side, because the wheel is going to wobble as it runs, and it's going to slide this clay off. It's called centrifugal force. Some of you science majors know what that is. If the clay is on the side of that of the wheel, it'll slid off the wheel. But he makes sure that the clay is in the center of the wheel. The Lord Jesus is the center of the scriptures. We are in the center of his will. That is the thought that came to me. Okay, the next thing is the furnace. It was not in the video. Now, when the pot comes out of the potter's hands, when he's done with the pot, or molding it, it's not ready for use yet. It has to go into the furnace. And it's pretty hot in the furnace. Now, what the potter is doing, it is still hardened yet. He's trying to harden. His design is going to be conformed. He's going to fix what he has made. The true character of the vessel. If you want to know how good that vessel is, put it into the furnace, right? If there's air pocket, it's going to burst. And in the scriptures, there's so many people that you hear of has gone through furnaces, right? Meted is Daniel's friends, right? But there's so many others. David, you know, Joseph, Nehemiah, Paul, Peter. Some examples I wrote down through furnaces. You know, a good potter stays very close to the furnace because the temperature is very critical. He would not go too far away from the furnace once he set the vessel in the furnace. Because the furnace, the heat of the furnace stabilizes it. If it's too hot, it's going to crack the vessel. The other thing that you saw was a carving tool towards the end. Remember, he took a tool and he carved the bottom of that vessel. And then also he worked on the sides of the vessel as it rotated. You know, he's so careful that there's no rough edges on that vessel. He wants it perfect in every way. There's grit. If it's not smooth, he wants to smoothen it. He wants to make it perfect. He could have just left it without using the tool. But that's not the way our potter is. Well, I'm going to read a little story. This is a make-believe story. So, but again, this is a true story set by Ben Hayden. He was a minister in the past, but he's no more. But it's a story, but it gives you a message, something to think about. Okay, this is about, again, this is a make-believe story. American couple goes to England on their 25th wedding anniversary, and they both loved antiques and fine pottery and china. So they stopped in a china shop in Sussex, England, and they saw a little teacup sitting on the shelf. And the man asked to see the teacup, and he said, "I've never seen a more beautiful teacup. It's gorgeous." I'm going to read this again. Then the teacup spoke. "You don't understand, sir. I haven't been a teacup all my life. I began as a lump of ordinary red clay. But then my master picked me up and rolled me and patted me and again, and I screamed at him, 'Put me down and leave me alone.' But he only smiled and said, 'Not yet.' Then the teacup said, 'I was placed on a spinning wheel. Suddenly I spun round and round and around, and I said, "Stop it, I'm getting dizzy." And the master only nodded and said, 'Not yet.' Then he put me in an oven. I have never felt such heat. I wondered why he wanted to burn me up. I yelled and knocked on the door. I could see him through the opening, and I could read his lips. He shook his head and said, 'Not yet.' And finally the door did open, and he put me on the shelf, and I began to cool. I said, 'It is better here.' Then suddenly he took me and painted me, and the fumes were horrible, and I thought I would gag. I said, 'Stop it, stop it.' He only nodded, 'Not yet.' Then he suddenly put me into another oven, twice as hot as the previous one. I know I was suffocating. I begged, I pleaded, but all the time I could see him through the opening, he kept nodding his head and said, 'Not yet.' And then when I know that there was no hope, and I thought I would never make it, and I was ready to give up, the door opened. He took me out and placed me on a shelf. An hour later, he handed me a mirror. He said, 'Look at yourself.' And I said, and I did, and said, 'That's impossible. I'm no longer that ordinary lump of clay. I'm beautiful.'" Then my master said, "I want you to remember, I know it was frightening to be dug up out of your familiar surroundings. I know it hurt to be rolled and patted, but if I had let you, you would have dried up into something useless. I know I made you dizzy when I put you on the wheel, but if I had stopped, you would have crumbled. I knew it hurt when it was hot in that oven, but if I hadn't put you there, you would have cracked. I know the paint fumes were unbearable when I brushed and painted you all over, but you see, if I hadn't done that, you would have never hardened, and there will never be color to your life. And if I had not put you in the second oven, you would have not survived very long, and the hardness would not have held. Now you're a finished product. You are what I had in mind when I saw you in the potter's field." I hope you got it. I'd like to read a couple of verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "For a light affliction which is but a moment, but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Philippians 1:6, "He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." amazing promises, right? I'd like to close with a little song. I have it on my iPhone. Jiren, where are you? Can you turn on this? Try to sing along. It's a prayer. So even if you do not know that song, just read. Read the words. It's very, very meaningful. And I hope you'll take it to heart. Bear with me, I'm doing this for the first time, so. This was supposed to work, but I'll seek after you. Let's make it all our prayer as we leave today. Sorry for the confusion here. I thought that would work, but hopefully you could still hear it. So, meeting is dismissed. Thanks for your attention.